I'll be honest, if I had a choice between looking at me and looking at Winsley Gray, I would look at her too. I'll guarantee you that. The past few weeks, we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke. And the Gospel of Luke really tells the story of Jesus' birth, looking over the shoulder of Mary. But today, we shift to the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And Matthew tells the birth story looking over the shoulder of Joseph. Now, I had a really sweet sermon prepared for you about God's presence and God with us, and it had stories about our daughter Sarah's graduation from college. And that'll have to wait for another time, because between the time I had that prepared and now, Friday happened. And on Friday morning, I was here watching our preschool students do their Christmas program, and it was magnificent. It was just glorious. All those sweet voices and sweet faces, parents, grandparents, friends crowded into McWhorter Hall. It's just exactly what that kind of event should be. And then for the rest of the day, I heard the news about what was happening and had happened in Connecticut. And my heart broke. Let me tell you something about me, if you don't already know it. I believe in the full inclusion of children in the church and in society, so much that if there is a choice between people who can pay millions of dollars to lobbyists to protect their causes and children who have no resources to protect theirs, I'll stand with the children. And if there is a choice between those who care for our money and those who care for our children, I will stand with those who care for our children. If you know me, you probably already know that. If you don't, you probably need to before this sermon. Matthew is a hopeful gospel, even in times of great difficulty and tragedy, even when Friday happens. Matthew has a word. Several weeks ago, remember, I preached on the end of Matthew. And the very last thing in Matthew is the great assurance that Jesus gives. I will be with you even to the end of the age. Today, we hear at the beginning of Matthew that Jesus has another name. And that name comes from the ancient Hebrew tradition. It is Emmanuel, and it means God with us. Matthew frames his entire gospel by saying, God is with us, Jesus will be with us even to the end of the age. Now that doesn't guarantee that bad things won't happen, because my guess is you've heard the story in between and you know what happened to Jesus. What it guarantees is that no matter how tragic the event, God does not desert us, ever, ever, ever. God takes the initiative and God is there. Past few days, there have been pundits who are blaming this violence in the school on the fact that God wasn't invited into the school, that there wasn't prayer in the school. Well, I don't know where they get their image of God, but it doesn't seem to be from the Gospels. And it certainly got not from the Gospel of Matthew, because in Matthew and in the other Gospels, God is not some shy, retiring presence who is waiting for us to invite that presence in. God is already there. God takes the initiative. Now, we may be aware of it, and we may not be aware of it, but God always acts first and is always there. And you know, I've wondered over the years that if Christian parents prayed daily with their children, and maybe some of you do, I know that, but if we all prayed daily with our children, we wouldn't feel such a great need to outsource that to other institutions and groups. God is with us. God was with us before we needed or thought we needed God. When times are going great and we feel like we can do it ourselves, God is with us. And when things happened that shatter our world and our reality, God is still there. That is the hope that Matthew offers. And Matthew counterposes the hope of that child called Emmanuel, the Prince of Peace, over against someone else, the Prince of Fear, Herod. If you read this story as it continues, you know that the Magi came to Herod, told him there was another king born in the land. Now, kings don't like other kings being born in their land. And so when the Magi didn't come back and report to Herod, Herod, having all the most advanced weaponry of his time in his world, decided that the solution to this was to take out all the children under the age of 2. Seems a little extreme to me. Does that to you? It's called the Feast Day of Holy Innocence in our church calendar. Comes up on December 28th. That became a real reality for me because our daughter Sarah was born on December 28th, and those innocents took on a face, and not just her face, but Lizzie's face and all the rest of these children. You see, I think I know why Herod did that. This incident is going to open a conversation on weapons, guns specifically, and I know people stand at different places on that, and I understand that. I grew up among people who hunted, and we didn't hunt for sport. We hunted for food. We hunted around our houses, not at distance places. We hunted in the woods near our homes, and we brought home squirrels and rabbits and an occasional groundhog. And you'll be very pleased to know that groundhog is not on the menu for the lunch today. And we cleaned them and we ate them. So I do understand. There are different views on this. But it seems to me that when a person chooses to surround himself, or when a culture chooses to surround themselves with weapons that are designed not for hunting, but purely and simply for warfare, nothing else, that they do that because they're scared. Herod was afraid. Now, the odd thing is he was afraid of a child, an infant. And having all that weaponry made him feel safe, made him feel powerful. Even though, quite honestly, whether that does make you safe or powerful is under question as well. But Herod was afraid. So we have a stark choice here in Matthew. We have God with us, the Prince of Peace, and we have Herod, the Prince of Fear. And do you see what fear drives you to? The kind of actions. Jesus says to his disciples over and over again, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. Not because there wasn't stuff to be afraid of. There was. But because Jesus saw the kind of people fear turned us into. And he didn't want his followers to be those kinds of people. The scripture says true love drives out fear. And so I guess the choice we have as Christians, not as liberals or conservatives, not as Republicans or Democrats or whatever label you want to put on yourself, but as followers of Jesus Christ, the question is, are we going to commit our lives to the Prince of Peace, or are we going to commit our lives to the Prince of Fear? We pay a lot of lip service to the Prince of Peace around this time of year, don't we? And then something happens that scares us to death, and the Prince of Fear takes over. Well, let me tell you, the choice that Matthew presents is very clear. And his solution is the Prince of Peace. He claims this radical and to some people nonsensical idea that the one who gives life is more powerful than the one who takes life. Did you hear that? The one who gives life through love is more powerful than the one who takes life through whatever means. And so that's our choice, it seems to me. I imagine you were as brokenhearted as I was when you heard that news on Friday, and we want to respond. We need to respond. And I know that many of you are praying for those families, those children, those teachers, their families. I hope you're praying for that troubled young man, too. Because from what I've read recently, he, too, was afraid, and he, too, felt like weapons would make him safe and powerful. But there are other ways to respond, and I don't usually suggest a specific way, but I am going to today. Because, you see, our Advent emphasis is on Bethlehem Center. And the children that Bethlehem Center serves are familiar with violence. They hear gunshots all the time in their neighborhoods. They know people who have been killed violently, either friends or relatives. And they don't live in Connecticut, and they don't live in Africa. They live just down Charlotte Avenue. They are literally our neighbors. For over 100 years, Bethlehem Center has been serving this population, begun by an African-American woman and a white woman at a time when that was practically unheard of. Both Methodists, it's been United Methodist all along. It is one of our ministries, and many of us don't even know it exists. It serves children, it serves youth, it serves older adults. I know some of you work with this. Some of you volunteer there. It's one of the most successful and one of the least funded of the groups around. In their youth programming, 97% of the youth they work with go on to the next grade. They pass. That's a remarkable record. Of the preschool children in the program they have to prepare them for reading, 100% hit their marks. Now, where do you find that kind of effectiveness? And yet they struggle constantly for enough money to keep their doors open. This is our Advent offering. There are folks out here who can tell you more than I can about it, certainly. But let me ask you to consider that one of the responses we can make to the terrible incident that happened in Connecticut and the terrible deaths that are happening in Syria and other places around the world is to respond here at home. You can write a check. You just make it out to West End United Methodist, mark Bethlehem Center, or put it in the Advent envelope, mark Bethlehem Center. And that's important. Don't get me wrong. It's very important because they need funding. But even more importantly is to get involved. Because your check or my check will help the older adults who need those Meals on Wheels, those preschool children, those youth who otherwise might be inflicting violence rather than passing to the next grade. But if we volunteer and get involved, if we actually get to know some of those folks, it'll not only change their lives, it'll change ours as well. So I think there is a choice. And I think there is a response. It's not the only response, but it's the one that we've chosen to emphasize this Advent. So I invite you, as followers of the Prince of Peace, to acknowledge that God is indeed with us by responding to those most in need who are literally our neighbors.